at the end of the early service that Ken and Sharon Sanders came forward for membership, and we just need to continue to pray for Ken as he's not doing well physically. He's under the hospice care, but he came down the aisle in a wheelchair, and he says, I've been a part of this church for years, but I've never joined. And he said, you know, he wanted to make his part of the church family official. And I just really think that shows the significance of church membership. And I would just encourage you to take that as a challenge. If you're not a member, to consider joining with us and be a part of our fellowship. We talk about the what and who of the gospel. We talked about that last summer. And your role is to determine the what the gospel is, and that's found in Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. But then, when we vote someone into membership, whether it's through baptism, Ken and Sharon both gave tremendous testimony of salvation and baptism years ago, but that's the what of the gospel. Then the who is those who we say, yes, you have done this, you are saved, we believe that, and we welcome you into our church family. So, that was just such a blessing. So continue to pray for Ken and Sharon as Ken goes through the valley of the shadow of death in days ahead. But he's looking to the Lord. He's trusting in the Lord. And based on our topic here this morning, Jesus is mighty to save. Amen?
Amen?
And we might ask the question this morning, who is Jesus? There are those who would say that he's a prophet. Oh yes, no doubt, he's a prophet. Others would say, well, he was a wise man. Some would say he was a mere man. He was a good example, you know, WWJD. Some do not even believe that he existed. He's just a concept, kind of like Santa Claus. Someone invented to merely give hope through a difficult time. So, who is Jesus, really? Who is Jesus? Well, we're in the middle of a message series leading up to Christmas in which we're focusing our attention on the names of Jesus, specifically as they're found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You can go ahead and turn there. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this day forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We think of the hymns, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Crown him Lord of all. He is to be worshipped. We're to bow down and worship Jesus, but why? Who is he? What makes Jesus so special? And so as we study this passage and the names of Jesus, the names that describe him, the names by which he is known, it's becoming abundantly clear that Jesus is unmistakably God. That's our take-home thought here through this series. Let's say that together. Jesus is unmistakably God. That should give you a clue as to why Jesus is so special. He is God. He is the Son of God. God the Son. The Messiah. The Savior of the world. He can be your Savior if you would but believe. And is therefore to be worshipped. But again, who is Jesus? And how is he described? And I want you to know Jesus. Not just know about him, but I want you to know him personally as a friend, as your Savior, and then as a friend. And God wants that for you as well. And thank God he's given us an apt description in his Word to help us to know him. And that's what this series here, the fact that God is with us and these names of Jesus helps us to know him, to know about, not just about him, but know things about him so that we can know him personally. And this morning I want to point out the fact that Jesus is called Mighty God. Jesus is called Mighty God. That's not by mistake. As the prophet wrote this in the Old Testament, And he wrote down here in Isaiah that he's wonderful counselor, mighty. He didn't just get carried away concerning this child that was to be born one day and get caught up in the moment. No, this was on purpose. Now, it's not saying that he is merely godly or God-like. He was not saying that he was just like God. It is saying that he is mighty God. Because that's who he is. So we want to look at some thoughts here today. And when we look at this, we say, okay, God is ethereal. He's spirit. He's has all these attributes or qualities. But then you have Jesus who is born. Well, Jesus, here's the first thought. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. Take the, if you have a hymnal there in front of you, if you can reach it, go ahead and grab the hymnal. Turn to hymn 145. We sang this just a little bit ago, but there's another verse I want you to see that we didn't sing. Hymn 145, O come all ye faithful. Look at the third verse. Let's read verse 3 together, all right, out loud so we can hear it. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come all ye faithful. I tell you what, this phenomenal theology in that hymn. And in many of the hymns that we sing, even sang here this morning. Word of the Father, the expression of the Father now in flesh appearing in Jesus. It's good theology. That's who Jesus is. He is the visual expression, manifestation of God. This name of Jesus well establishes the fact that Jesus is God. There's no question. No question about that. It's no question that this passage is prophetic, and it recognizes Jesus as the one who is to be born as the child, and Jesus fulfills all that which this passage refers to all that which this passage refers. And now we see that his name emphasizes the fact that he is mighty God or almighty God. And that the same person should be called the mighty God and a child is neither conceivable nor possible nor can be true except by the union of the divine and human natures in the same person. He is truly God and truly man. So I have some passages here that I want you to look to jot down, and you don't have to look them up, or if you have YouVersion, they should be there. But I'm going to go through them fairly quickly and to show that Jesus is God. And there's no question about it. And there are many, but I want you to see these. John chapter 8, verses 56 to 59. Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Jews that were gathered around him. And he says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? It was kind of like they're going, yeah, right, come on. You're not even 50 years old, and you're telling us right now you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why in the world would they throw stones at him? Why would they say, we got to get this guy, we got to kill this guy? Why? Because he was saying unequivocally, without question, I am God. And they didn't like it. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Capital W-O-R-D. Not was a God, not a little g God. No, Jesus was the Word, and He was God. No doubt. No question about that. He was the Word, meaning that He was, again, the expression of God and who He is. the visual manifestation of Him. Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, to them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is Christ who is God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 28. This is when he appears to Thomas. Remember, Thomas was the doubter. And he said, unless I see Him personally and I can touch Him, I'm not going to believe. Jesus comes to him and says, here you go. Touch. Believe. And Thomas answered Him, my Lord and my God. Talking to Jesus. Hebrews 1:8 says, but of the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. What does that mean? Well, Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 clarifies that when the angel appears to Joseph, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Amen. Amen. Emmanuel means God with us. We've been singing about that in our Christmas carols here this morning. That's, again, the theme of our series. When Jesus was born, that showed that God was with us because God became man. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we wait for the blessed hope, appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is unmistakably God. And I say, well, Dale, why do you just keep bringing this up? I mean, it's not only on this Sunday and Sundays before Christmas, but you know, you bring it up all the time. Well, it's because there's so much confusion out there about who Jesus is. You go to YouTube and you just type in, I did this last week, you just type in, who is Jesus? And you're going to get videos of people scratching their head and saying, well, you know, he was a good person. I believe, yeah, he was a prophet. And some will say, I don't believe he even exists. Just all those things that I said at the beginning of the message. You'll hear those on some of those videos. Now, some of them get it right, as we're talking about here today. But one reason I continue to emphasize this is because of all of the confusion, all the opinions out there, and you need to be able to confidently affirm the fact that Jesus is God. Believe it and be able to show it through the Word and as well as through your life. Many cults prey on people who are fuzzy on this very point. A point of doctrine, because cults do not believe that Jesus is God. You have someone come knock at your door, and they'll say, oh, we believe in Jesus. Well, what do you believe about Jesus? And ask them, what do you believe about Jesus, or who do you believe Jesus is? And that will tell you a whole lot about what that whoever knocks at your door believes. And if they do not say that Jesus, in essence, Jesus is unmistakably God, who came to this earth to die for the sins of mankind and rose again, then they don't believe. If they don't say that, then don't listen to them. He is above anything else that anybody might consider as being a little g god. So that being said, do you have any little g gods in your life? Just a little peek into our New Year's message. And that's the last Sunday of December. After Christmas, I'm going to preach a New Year's message. I'm going to preach on priorities. Because if you get your priorities wrong, you get life wrong. Okay? And so the priorities that we're going to look at is that anything that is a priority over God is an idol. Because He, God, does not have His rightful place in your life. Anything you're willing to sin in order to get, or sin because you can't have it, is an idol. It is a god to you, and you are bowing down and worshiping that. whatever that is or whoever that is other than Almighty God. You get your priorities out of place and you're worshiping an idol. You're worshiping another God other than our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's become more important to you than pleasing Almighty God. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm looking forward to that. I hope you think about that in your own life, even now. Here's another thought that I think emphasizes the fact that Jesus is unmistakably God, and that is Jesus possesses the attributes of God. He possesses all the attributes of God. Attributes are qualities that are attributed to a person, qualities that describe a person or ascribed to them. And Mighty God here emphasizes His power. One commentator says, He is the prevailing or conquering God. And so He possesses all the attributes of God. But I'm going to highlight a few. The first one I want to highlight is, Jesus is omnipotent. That gives credence to the name here, Mighty God. He shall be called Mighty God. That's who He is. And you see His might in creation. I believe in a 6 literal 24-hour day creation. He spoke the world into being. That is power. Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Speaking of Jesus, Colossians 1, 15 and 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Yes, I believe in the Big Bang. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and bang! It was there. That's the work of Mighty God. Just think of the vastness of His created universe. I don't know if you've ever been, how many of you have been to the Creation Museum? Okay, it's awesome. I know this is an extra expense, but if you haven't gone to the planetarium, you need to go to the planetarium down there at the Creation Museum. And there's one, you know, they sit back and they get all these, and it's just like, oh man. And they have this one on, it just shows like, and it just goes, the universe just goes on and on and on. It's like, oh my goodness. And I believe that the vastness of this universe shows us that God is vast and powerful and infinite in all that He is. He's omnipotent. It shows the inexhaustible might and power of God. He is Creator. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, okay? But I've dissected various animals in high school. I mean, it was just, you start with the worm, you know, you've seen that. You dissect a worm, and then you go on to frogs and other animals. And in college, you dissect other animals and so on. And also, I have field dressed many deer. Okay? And it has always fascinated me that when you field dress, you look, there is the heart. Oh my goodness, that's the heart. And then there's the liver. You can see it's just like in the pictures, you know? And there are the lungs. There's the esophagus. There's the stomach. Oh man, it's just unbelievable. And to me, that just shows the creative power of Almighty God as opposed to evolution. Because I sit there and think, how did the liver figure out that's where it's supposed to go? Why did the liver not start growing on your chin? You know, it's like, you know, blah, 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 you know. Or your heart, it's not located in your armpit, you know. See my heart, you know. Hey, how did, if evolution is true, how in the world did all the organs figure out where they were supposed to go and how they were supposed to function? To me, it's evidence that there is an almighty God who is creator of all things, and He created you and me. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And note this, look at, you're in Colossians 1, look at verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He sustains and holds all creation together. 2 days ago was December 7th. Don't ever forget the events of Pearl Harbor, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, that which brought us into, the events that brought us, the United States, into World War II. But you know, as you think about that, you think of the end of World War II and the atomic bombs that ended the World War for us in the Pacific. And you think of the power of the atomic bomb and what it takes for those atoms to split. And the awesome power of that. And to me, it just is evidence of what it takes to hold everything together. Because if it falls apart, there's nothing left. Right? And we see that in the power of Jesus to hold all things together. We see the power of Jesus in His ministry. Think of His miracles. He started here on this earth. He turned water into wine. He fed the 5,000, plus women and children. He healed the man who was born blind. He raised the dead. Think about that. That's power. He shows His power in His judgments. He conquers. He overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. We see His power in deliverance. He casts out demons. And because of that, He can deliver you from whatever holds you bondage. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, He says, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in you, Jesus Christ, is greater than he who is in the world. Romans 8, verses 37 to 39. "No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, the Lord Jesus. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus is mighty, and He can help you overcome the sin that overwhelms you, that easily besets you. He can help you overcome your anger, your fears, your worries, your sensualities, your addictions, your life-dominating sins. That, my friend, is power, and a good place for an amen. You see His might in salvation. Every saved person here has to realize, "I was once dead in my transgressions and sins." Dead! There's nothing you can do to be raised from the dead, physically or spiritually, except by the power of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of salvation through Christ, He quickens you. He makes you alive spiritually. He brings you back from the dead, spiritual death, in Jesus, because of Jesus. And we have testimonies of individuals here who were, talk about dead in sin. You know your past. And yet, look what God has made you into. That's the power of God. It's hard to argue against the testimony of a changed life. If someone questions God and everything, you can just say, "Hey, can I just tell you what God means to me?" And you can just say, "Here's what I was before God, before Jesus. And then God worked in such a way that I came to Jesus. And I believe that He came to this earth as a baby. And that He died, he died on a cross. He grew and was a good example, yes, but He died on the cross, was buried and rose again. And I surrendered to Him in my salvation. I asked Him to save me. And now He has done a work in my life as He's made me alive spiritually. And I'm a changed person. I'm changed." Hard to argue against the power of a changed life. We also, here's another attribute. Jesus is omniscient. You see His might in His wisdom. His power in His wisdom. We talked extensively last week about His counsel. And I think that When you think of the counsel of the entirety of God's Word, that's evidence of His power. Think about that. You go to the Bible, you look at it, it's like, it all fits. It's amazing. It's the power of God. I've seen individuals struggling with life-dominating sins become victorious. Why? Because of the power of God working through His Word and the Holy Spirit working in their lives to see them change dramatically to overcome and be victorious. Through the power of Christ and His counsel through His Word. That's power. You see His might and His patience. He is patient with you. I'm glad that He's patient with me. Think of the fact that it takes power, it takes might to withhold judgment. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So He's patient. He's omniscient, and in that omniscience, He's patient. He knows your heart. We also see Jesus is holy, another indication that He is God. I think of Luke chapter 1. These are good Christmas passages. So go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. And this is when the angel comes to Mary and visits Mary and tells her that she's going to have a child who is the Christ. Luke chapter 1, 34 and 35. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin? I'm not married. I haven't had relations with a man." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." There's power again. "Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And because He is holy, He's also to be worshipped. That's the next quality, the next attribute. Jesus is worshipped. Remember John chapter 9? It's where Jesus heals the man who was born blind. And he was cast out of the synagogue, and Jesus heard that he had been cast out and found him. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He's saying, hey buddy, I'm right here. I'm your Savior, if you would but believe. And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. And you know what? Jesus accepted that worship. If he was not God, he should not accept any worship. But he willingly accepted worship. And another Christmas passage, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll look at verses 1 through 11. This is when the Magi, what we call wise men, come from the east, and they came to Bethlehem. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to what? Worship him. As a baby in a manger, we've come to worship him.'" Why would they do that? Because Jesus is unmistakably God. Verse 7. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me words that I too may come and worship him.'" But after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and what? worshiped Him. Why? Because they believed that He was God. They believed what had been said about Him. Then opening their treasures, they offered Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, that's a way in which we worship, through our giving. We're going to take an offering here in just a little bit. And that's a means by which we worship. Some churches, they have their offering receptacles out in the hallways and so on. And that's okay. But we choose to continue to take an offering because we believe it to be an act of worship as we give back to God that which He's entrusted to our care. But Jesus is to be worshipped. And that which is not God ought not to be worshipped. And Christmas is a time for worship. Why? Because Jesus is unmistakably God. And we worship Him. The fact is that Jesus is mighty God. The question is Jesus your mighty God? Have you surrendered to Him in salvation? There may be some here this morning. You've come searching. You're like, okay, I want to know who this Jesus is. I hope you're getting a better picture of who Jesus is. And I hope if you don't understand salvation, we want to help you with that. Give you the opportunity to do that. When we start singing, you're welcome to come down front here and I'll have someone take you aside, pray with you and show you more about Jesus and His salvation. Or after the service, be willing to talk to you in the back there. But as I think of believers, and many of you have come to Jesus, you believe this. How are you trusting Him? If you believe He is mighty God, how are you trusting Him through your circumstances, through the challenges, the difficulties that you face? If He is Almighty God, and He is, and you can see His might in the many ways in which we've talked about here this morning, I want you to understand He is sovereign. That means He's in control. Whatever it is you're going through is not beyond His care. He's not going, oops, sorry. Well, man, I didn't see that coming. No, that's not God. What kind of might is there in that? What kind of power is there in that? He is mighty God. And He is certainly able to help you in your situation in a mighty way. Through His might, through His power, He can help you. He can carry you through as you look into His Word and you find out what He wants you to do and how He wants you to think and believe and act through whatever it is that you face. And because of that, you don't have to despair. You don't have to worry. You don't have to drift into depression. But rather, you will trust Him. You believe that He can, that He does, and He will work in your situation. Because He's powerful. He's almighty. And so, okay, how does that happen, practically speaking? Well, first of all, you go to Him in prayer. And by prayer, I mean fervent prayer. Faithful, fervent prayer. Not just, oh God, help me in this. I don't know what to do, and then move on to something else, or worry, or fret, or despair. No, faithful, fervent prayer. The Scripture says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's beneficial. And so you're going to spend time in prayer about whatever that situation is. You're going to say, oh God, help me. I need Your help. You're going to turn to Him as opposed to turn to anybody else or anything else. You're going to turn to Him. You turn anything else, anybody else, you're looking at idols again, right? The priority, turn to Him. God, help me. And then you're going to look into His Word. God, what is it that I need to learn in Your Word as to how to handle this situation, the challenge, the difficulty, or even the blessing? God, help me in this. Open my eyes and I might see wonderful things out of Your law, and then worship. God, thank You. I can't see the end right now. I don't know how You're going to work. But I know, I believe that You're going to work. And I worship You. And I praise You for your power and your might and the fact that I can trust you through this. And then finally, you look for opportunities to serve. You look for opportunities to serve in spite of your circumstances. Don't withdraw. Don't say, hey, I can't handle it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I need my time, my space. You may need some time for that in the midst of tragedy. Just, I need to pray about it. But not selfishly, you know, leave me alone. But as you go through that, then look for opportunities to reach out and minister and serve others. Because so often what that does is it takes your eyes off of the difficulty, the circumstances of your situation. Because you know what? Someone else may be going through that same kind of thing that you are going through. And then you can help them with the truths that God has helped you with. And then also it just turns your heart away from focusing in on the depth of that situation to the opportunity to serve others. You know, there's some people here who are going through some really serious stuff, and you might not ever even know it. Why? Because they're reaching out. They're serving. They're trusting God. Why? Because He's a powerful God, and you can't trust Him. And through doing these kinds of things, you acknowledge that Jesus is God. He is the one who is bigger than you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can look to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, God the Son, who became man to provide salvation for those who would believe. And I pray that would be a reality in hearts and lives here today. Even now, turn hearts toward you. Do that amazing, life-transforming work that only you can do. And I pray, God, that there would be hearts that would surrender. There are hearts here today that are hardened, that are just holding back. I pray that they would just surrender to you in humility, believing that Jesus provides that salvation. So I pray that you would work in heart. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how God may have spoken to you through His Word here today, but He is powerful. And I pray that you will surrender to that. If there's anyone here never trusted Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. In a minute, after our offering, when we start to sing and when Jeremy asks us to stand, I'll be down front here. If you'd like someone to pray with you or have questions about salvation or maybe a difficult situation, don't hesitate. Just come down and I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you or talk with me after the service. But I'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can take that from the pew in front of you or go to YouVersion or to our website and just jot down how God may have spoken to you through His Word here today. If there's something personal and private, just check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you about these matters. But we'd like to hear as to your commitment or your questions about the power of God in your life. Maybe a testimony. And again, jot that down and we'd love to pray with you on that. Father, work in our hearts. Help us to open our eyes to see your power in our everyday. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.